ओम गिरचमिनन्दस्यादिनाशिलाफलकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टं स्थपितं जगभूतले अयं प्रदमयं ददति सापनन्तिकम् वंशकपदुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च पतितरं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Chapter 4. Gajendra has prayed to the Lord in his time of great distress, captivated by the crocodile. And then, as a result of those prayers, the Lord came on Garuda and cut off the head of the crocodile. Not the head, but the jaw. And then we're going to hear what happened next. So Gajendra was saved. It's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Gajendra was the leader of the elephants, so he's called Gajapati. Who else is also known as Gajapati? King of Puri. So especially Maharaj Prataparudra. So the king, Maharaj Prataparudra, was called Gajapati. And he was saved from the crocodile of the politics surrounding being a king and the degradation that the power and position of being a king brings. And he was saved from that crocodile of politics by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. You put him in a less noisy container. Rattle, 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 rattle. So then, this next chapter is entitled Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. This is chapter 4 in Canto 8. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages, and Gandharvas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. So Gajendra was in such a difficult condition one moment, and then by Krishna's mercy, which one will have to say that Krishna's mercy is causeless, but yet he was so fervently and vehemently praying. His prayers were so fervent that the Lord was obliged to come. His prayers were so full of bhakti that the Lord was obliged to come. So he has to be said to be a cause, but one would call that necessary but not sufficient. His fervency and his sincerity of prayers are necessary. That calling for the Lord, otherwise samaham savabhuteshu name dvesho stina priya, the Lord isn't inclined. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, but when someone is a devotee worshipping him, that makes him inclined. So the calling of the devotee, the bhakti of the devotee is necessary, but it is not sufficient to force the Lord to come. That is his causeless mercy, but yet it's required. So at one moment he's in the most desperate, difficult condition. Just imagine the pain to the body of being, if your leg was in the jaws of a crocodile, even if you had an elephant's tough hide after 1,000 years, it would really hurt. So one moment he's in the greatest pain, and the next moment the demigods are showering flowers down on him. So such is the mercy of the Krishna. of the Krishna, of Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. It is evident from this chapter that great sages like Devalarishi, Narada Muni, and Agastya Muni will sometimes curse someone. Who did Narada Muni curse? You know? Damanarjuna, yes. You went to that place? Were they in Gokul?
Yeah.
Nice? So sometimes a saintly person will curse, and it appears that they curse out of anger. And a saintly person supposed to get angry? No, we think. But actually a saintly person does get angry sometimes. But his anger isn't based on the same type of raw tamaguni emotion that the anger of an ordinary person is based upon. It is based rather on a... one could say a frustration, maybe, of the degradation of someone or whatever. But in any case, even if there is some anger, because sometimes saintly persons can actually get angry because of being insulted, as we hear. But yet, because they're saintly, Krishna uses that curse, and something good always comes from it. The curse of such a personality, however, is in fact a benediction. Both the crocodile, who had been a Gandharva in his previous life, and Gajendra, who had been a king named Indradumna, were cursed, but both of them benefited. Indradumna, in his birth as an elephant, attained salvation and became a personal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. And the crocodile regained his status as a Gandharva. We find evidence in many places that the curse of a great saint or devotee is not a curse, but a benediction. Like when Narada cursed the Jamalarjun or the Manigriva Nalakuvera, the two sons of Kuvera. They were very wealthy sons of wealthy, the most wealthy of the demigods, who was the treasurer of the demigods. So he was so wealthy, and his sons were a bit spoiled, so they were enjoying naked in a river with young ladies. And they were so intoxicated that when Narada Muni came, they didn't even respect him. They didn't even become shy. They didn't notice him practically. So Narada Muni became intolerant of their degradation, and he cursed them to become trees. You're so fond of standing naked, then become a tree. A tree stands naked continuously, regardless of the day or night or the season. So, but yet, because Narada Muni had cursed them to become trees, indeed they became trees, but they weren't ordinary trees. They became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and Krishna. And Krishna actually, they actually saw Krishna and watched his childhood pastimes. So they were they fortunate or unfortunate? They were most fortunate, but it appeared superficially that they had taken, were placed in an awful, difficult situation as trees, but actually they became most fortunate, and Krishna liberated them ultimately. So we find evidence in many places that the curse of a great saint or devotee is not a curse, but a benediction. So not only there were flowers being showered upon the Lord in Gajendra, but also, text 2, there was a beating of kettle drums in the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka began to dance and sing, while great sages and the inhabitants of Charana Loka and Siddha Loka offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottam, because he had done something wonderful. He had come to protect someone who was calling out to him. And he came in a wonderful way on the back of Garuda, and with his chakra he effortlessly cut off the jaw of the crocodile, saving Gajendra. First he pulled them both out of the water. Text 3 and 4. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers just suitable for the transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. So Devalamuni cursed him, and he became a crocodile, and yet he was killed, practically speaking, by the Lord, and purified, and became a Gandharva. Also another example of someone who was cursed and was benefited. When Brahmins cursed King Riga for inadvertently, something very innocent, he was giving away, so charitable, giving away so many cows, and he inadvertently gave away one cow to two, the same cow to two different Brahmins, and they both wouldn't relinquish their title, their ownership of the cow, so therefore he was stuck, because he had given the same thing to two different people, and therefore he was criticized and cursed to become a lizard. But when Krishna touched that lizard with his hand, yes, he was transformed into this incredibly pious personality. So fortunate. So sometimes the situations we find ourselves in appear on one level so unfortunate, we feel like some crocodile or another is giving us pain by grasping and with his sharp teeth our legs. But then in the end it comes out wonderful, and sometimes on the other hand something very wonderful turns out terrible for us. So this is the very nature of the material world. So a devotee doesn't get involved, he doesn't really, with his consciousness, with his attachments, get involved in the good, seeming good, or the seeming bad of the material world, because they are always shifting, good and bad, and good and bad, and good and bad. What was good yesterday, today appears terrible, and what was terrible yesterday, today appears good, and what was... And just on and on, things shift like that. So a devotee doesn't worry about the good or terrible of the material world. Rather, he focuses his mind on the eternal platform and what is pleasing to Krishna. So in the good circumstance that may come to him according to his fate, and in the bad circumstance that may come to him according to his fate, tatenu kampam susamikshamano, he sees Krishna's blessing, he sees the reactions of his own misdeeds, and he tries to act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Because who can do anything about what happens to us in the material world? Unpredictable, unpredictable. So, the best of the Gandharvas had been cursed by Devalamuni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head, in other words, he bowed his head, and began chanting prayers just suitable for the transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. So, when there is an economic collapse, when the stock market, prior to the Great Depression in 1930, the stock market, Wall Street collapsed, and people were killing themselves. Literally, people were killing themselves because they had nothing left in their life. Their fortunes were finished, and they were killing themselves. And on the other hand, when the prostitute Pingala, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, she explains that disappointment can turn to the greatest success. It is the source of success. Because disappointment brings detachment. And detachment can turn into taking shelter of the Lord, of Krishna, of God, of the Supersoul. Which is the source, this is how the success is really defined. And also that Maharaj who is Bhattacharya. Who? Yeah, and Pingala didn't have a husband, but there was another one who was a Maharaj who was chasing her everywhere, Orvasi, or someone, and also in the 11th canto. He was so attached to us, right in the 9th canto, it begins the story. And then when she finally, she caused him so much anxiety, he was so attached to her for enjoyment. But finally, that misery that it caused brought such detachment in his heart. And there's a section of the 11th canto called the Al-Gita, which is very, very wonderful, showing how detachment comes from miserable situations. And rather, happy situations naturally cause material attachment. So again, which is better? Of course, everyone wants happiness, and no one wants misery, but yet we see sometimes that misery is a greater cause of happiness ultimately than happiness is a cause of happiness, because if happiness turns to attachment, attachment in the material world always causes distress ultimately. Because we're forced to be we're forced to be separated from the object that we're attached to. He began chanting a prayer. He saw the Lord and was chanting prayers. Prabhupada's purport. The story of how the Gandharva had become a crocodile will be described later. The curse by which the Gandharva took this position was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone, for his curse, indirectly, is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system. So is this good, to have the mentality of an inhabitant of heaven? It's gooder than having the mentality of someone in the material, the mundane, ordinary, earthly world. But there is so much attachment to, it's subtle, and there's so much attachment to material pleasures. And this can be the greatest, because there's practically no experience of misery, this can be the greatest hindrance to spiritual life. So he had that mentality, that subtle, deep, peaceful, cultured mentality, and therefore there was no suffering in it, so therefore there's no inclination to go to Goloka Vrindavan. But on becoming a crocodile, having such a nasty body with a nasty mentality, then as a result of that, he actually saw the Lord and associated with the Lord. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, the Gandharva had a mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile. And it only, and just imagine the envy in a crocodile's mentality, that the mind, it sees something and immediately it takes it, it grabs it, and crocodiles then drag it into deep water and then hold it underwater until that creature drowns. So such an envious mentality, such a completely selfish, nasty mentality. So, but because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile, and only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was freed from the curse of Agastya Muni. Text 5. Having been favored by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is about King Wuhu of the Gandharva king. And having regained his original form, King Wuhu circumambulated the Lord and offered his obeisances. Then in the presence of all the demigods, headed by Brahma, he returned to Gandharva Loka. He had been freed from all sinful reactions. Because Gajendra, king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He was immediately freed from all material ignorance and bondage. And thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Purport. If one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by having his gross body touched by the Lord, his body turns into a spiritual body and he can go back home, back to Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj was touched by the Lord's conch shell, and even though he was a young boy, he was able to offer wonderful prayers. Prahlad Maharaj similarly was touched. So, and also there was a serpent who was, when the Brijavasis were worshipping Devi, Ambika, and there was a serpent that attempted to swallow Nanda Maharaj, and the cowherd men came with their burning logs to save Nanda Maharaj from this serpent who was eating him. And then Krishna touched the serpent with his lotus feet. And by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, the serpent regained his position, and he was actually also an exalted personage. So Gajendra became a four-handed resident of Vaikuntha, Sarupya Mukti. Purport. If one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by having his gross body touched by the Lord, his body turns into a spiritual body and he can go back home, back to Godhead. Gajendra assumed the spiritual body when his body was touched by the Lord. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj assumed his spiritual body in this way. Archana Pariti, daily worship of the deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, because one is touching the Lord, his consciousness is touching the Lord by hearing about Krishna. By chanting his glories, touching his feet, or offering worship. In other words, by serving the Lord somehow or another, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. One who is a pure devotee, anya bilasita sanyam, who acts according to the Shastra and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly becomes purified. Like a Gajendra, he assumes a spiritual body and returns home back to Godhead. So this is our hope. To be touched once, twice, three times, 10 times, continuously, our consciousness saturated with Krishna. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. Our consciousness saturated with the spiritual energy which is not of the material world. And that is the wonder of Bhakti Yoga, the Sarup Siddhi facets of Bhakti Yoga. They are no different from Krishna. They are not of the material world. The 5 elements of bhakti, the 9 elements of bhakti, the 64 elements of bhakti, these are all from the spiritual world. The books, the name of Krishna, Abhinatam Namanamano, all of the spiritual world. So this is really the art of Krishna consciousness, is to somehow always keep one's attention, consciousness on Krishna. Somehow, chaitasya savakamani maya sanyasya matpara bhuli yoga mapashita manchita satatamava. When Krishna, to think always that Krishna has engaged me in this way. I'm doing this to please Krishna. Yatta pravata bhutanam yena savamindaptatam. Let Krishna be pleased. So if we're thinking Krishna, Krishna be pleased, then we're always in touch with Krishna. How wonderful. And then gradually we also assume a spiritual body and return home back to Godhead. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnava and the king of the country known as Pandya, which is in the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life he was known as Indradumna Maharaj. Indradumna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malaya hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, this is interesting. This is the story how he ended up in such a gross body as an elephant, from being an exalted Vaishnava king who had renounced, so detached, so pure, he had renounced his being king, was in the forest performing austerities. He was observing a vow of silence. He was fully engaged in the worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. So exalted. While Indraduma Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there surrounded by his disciples. When the Munis saw that Maharaj Indradumya, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him a reception, he was very angry. When Chitraketu Maharaj was put in an awkward situation by the curse of whom? Who cursed Chitraketu? Parvati. Yes, Parvati cursed Chitraketu Maharaj. So he just accepted it because of his purity as a Vaishnava. And what was the actual inspiration of Parvati cursing him? And he was cursed to become a demon in his next life. You have such low consciousness, you're criticizing Lord Shiva, therefore you should become asura in your next life, a demon. So he said, all right, I've done nothing wrong, but okay. Hare Krishna. But actually, the inspiration for Parvati doing that was Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that he was, because Chitraketu was at Vidyadhara, who lives for so many thousands and millions of years. And the Lord wanted him to bring him back to Vaikuntha, bring him to the spiritual world very quickly. So he arranged this scenario. Also, who else was cursed? Prickit Maharaj, he was cursed to die within 7 days. What a horrible curse. Everything finished. He said, okay. So he wanted to do the best thing with those 7 days. And the result of that, those 7 days was that the Bhagavatam was spoken. And he also, Krishna's arrangement, he went to the spiritual world. So sometimes great sages may not be fully tolerant Vaishnavas and they curse. Or in the case of Sringi, the boy who cursed Maharaj Prickit, he was immature. He didn't have culture. So Agastya Muni became angry and he spoke this curse against the king. This king Indradumna is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a brahmana. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome, because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, though in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Purport. This is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because a devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him, and when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tate anukampam su samikshamano. This is a practical example of how a devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service, and Krishna takes care of him and enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, And very soon he is freed from all the reactions of material contamination. One should therefore adhere to devotional service. One's devotional service should be deep so that one can adhere to it, hold to it, a devotional consciousness, regardless of anything that happens in the material world. And in some senses, when the bad things happen, it's so difficult. But when the good things happen, so-called good things, sometimes it's even more difficult. When the bad things happen, one may become angry or disturbed, and it's hard for him to think of the Lord, but he's trying. He wants to, but he can't do it so easily, possibly. When something good happens, the problem is we don't want to. It seduces away. This is Maya's best trick. It seduces away our desire to take shelter for Krishna. It takes away our need. So what is favorable and what is unfavorable is hard to say. So a devotee, whatever situation he's in, he takes that as Krishna and he sees Krishna's hand. How wonderful is the consciousness of a devotee. Every situation is equal for him. He's a deep devotee because in every situation he's thinking of Krishna. So one should therefore adhere to devotional service and the Lord himself will soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. A devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program depending on the Lord for everything. The word upadharayan, considering, is very significant in this verse. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material conditioned life. And ultimately what's happening is Krishna is happening. So the pastime continues. Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which exactly was his desire. He wanted not only deliverance from the clutches of the crocodile, but he was tired of being in material existence altogether, which resembles a crocodile. The Lord awarded him the status of Sarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, and the other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the back of his carrier, Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. Purport. In this verse, the word vimoksha is significant. For a devotee, moksha, or mukti, salvation, means getting the position of the Lord's associate. The impersonalists are satisfied to get the liberation of merging in the Brahman effulgence. But for a devotee, mukti liberation means not to merge in the effulgence of the Lord, but to be directly promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and to become an associate of the Lord. In this regard, there is a relevant verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tate anukampam susumikshamano bunjanaivatma kritam vipakam ridvag vipapurvir videtana namaste livateyo muktipade sadayavak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee who tolerates everything in this material world and patiently executes his devotional service can become muktipade sadayabak, a bona fide candidate for liberation. The word dayabak refers to a hereditary right to the Lord's mercy. A devotee must simply engage in devotional service, not caring about material situations. Then he automatically becomes a rightful candidate for promotion to Vaikuntha Loka. The devotee who renders unalloyed service to the Lord gets the right to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, just as a son inherits the property of his father. We'll read the next verse now. Text 14. My dear King Cricket, have now described the wonderful power of Krishna. Krishna anubhavo gaja raja mokshanam, the unlimited potency of Lord Krishna by which he can deliver a devotee. Gaja raja mokshanam, for he delivered the king of the elephants. I have now described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of the elephants. O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Who, raise your hand if you've heard this narration. Now you're all fit to go to the higher planetary systems.
We don't
want to
go.
Huh? Just think how many things you can get for Gopinath there.
Go and come back.
As you like. Fit doesn't mean that you have to go. You just become more subtle consciousness. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are never unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams.
Never unaffected?
They are unaffected. Excuse me. Just was seeing if you were listening. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga. That would be a great benediction. And they never see bad dreams, especially the bad dream of being in an animal's body. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and in particular the Brahmin Vaishnavas, should chant this narration as it is without deviation to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. We'll read the second half of Prabhupada's purport. Because of sinful activities at night, we have bad dreams, which are very troublesome. Indeed, Maharaj Yudhisthira was obliged to see hell because of a slight deviation from devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, dusapna, bad dreams, occur because of sinful activities. A devotee sometimes accepts a sinful person as his disciple. And to counteract the sinful reactions he accepts from the disciple, he has to see a bad dream. Nonetheless, the spiritual master is so kind that in spite of having bad dreams due to the sinful disciple, he accepts this troublesome business for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. Victims of Kali Yuga. What an apt way to describe what's going on. The people born in Kali Yuga, they scarcely have a chance to act in pious ways. Everything, more or less, is against them and degrades them. The whole culture is degrading. From the televisions, to the advertising, to the what's sold in the shops, to the dress, to the music, to the movies, to the hairstyles, to the education, to the co-education, to the what is politically correct, to the anxieties that the government cause, the taxes, the crimes, and everything. It just causes so much to the diseases. Everything causes anxiety and degradation, to the intoxication that is so prevalent. So everyone is a victim in Kali Yuga, victimized by Kali Yuga. So an exalted spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada is so kind that in spite of having bad dreams due to the sinful disciples, he accepts this troublesome business for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. After initiation, therefore, a disciple should be extremely careful not to commit again any sinful act that might cause difficulty for himself and the spiritual master. Before the deity, before the fire, before the spiritual master, and before the Vaishnavas, the honest disciple promises to refrain from all sinful activities. Therefore, he must not again commit sinful activities and thus create a troublesome situation. I heard Prabhupada speak on this, I think it was just even this morning, on a tape on a morning walk. He said, they promise. He wasn't sympathetic to, in one sense, to the difficulties that people who are brought up in the Kali Yuga cultures have. And he said, he said he was presenting a very strongly. He said, a dog cannot keep his promise. A cat cannot keep his promise. So if a human being, he's promised before the deities, before the fire, before the spiritual master, before the Vaishnavas, if he doesn't keep his promise, then he's a cat or a dog. Very, very, very strong. He wasn't in the mood of, oh, it's all right, we understand. He said, cats and dogs then, why do they take initiation? Very, very, very strong. The honest disciple promises to refrain from all sinful activities. 16. O best of the Kuru dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the super soul of everyone, being thus pleased, address Gajendra in the presence of everyone there, who spoke the following blessing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, freed from all sinful reactions are those who rise from bed at the end of night, early in the morning, and fully concentrate their minds with great attention upon my form, your form, this lake, this mountain, the caves, the gardens, the cane plants, the bamboo plants. In other words, fully meditating upon the surrounding circumstances of this pastime. The celestial trees, the residential quarters of me, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the three peaks of Trikuta Mountain made of gold, silver and iron, my very pleasing abode, the ocean of milk, the white island, Swetha Deep, which is always brilliant with spiritual rays, my mark of Shivats, the Kastuba gem, my Bhajayanti garland, my club, Komodaki, my Sudarshan disc and Panchajanya kanshal, my Bera, Garuda, the king of the birds, my bed, Sheshanag, my expansion of energy, the goddess of fortune, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, my incarnations like Matsya, Koma, and Varaha, my unlimited all auspicious activities which yield piety to he who hears them, the sun, moon, fire, the mantra Omkar, the spiritual, the absolute truth, the total material energy, the cows and Brahmins. Think about, focus your mind on a cow right now. What does that do to your consciousness when you think of a cow? Yeah, it immediately affects the consciousness. Peaceful. I thought you were going to start mooing or something. Nowadays, commonly, when I don't know if it's so much in Australia, but in the United States, when girls address each other, Matajis, who are not quite Matajis, they say, come on, guys, let's do something. When I was growing up, guys meant gentlemen, or men, or something, or boys, or something. But they don't, so they say, come on, guys. But they don't know that guys in Hindi means cows. Yes? It is true or is it not true, monkey?
It's a bit corrupted.
It's corrupted. The cows are corrupted too in Kali Yuga.
Guys, doesn't mean guys.
What does it mean? Gaya. We should correct their pronunciation then.
Yeah, I work to the guys.
Okay.
How many, what is many?
Gaya,
many is Gaya.
Oh, very good.
Gaya. Okay. What is Gaya? What is Nila Gaya? Huh? Okay. You're changing my point, my joke. Anyway, so when any of the girls, any of the Matajis, if someone says, come on, guys, everyone should go, It's corrupted. But it's not corrupted in a bad way, at least. So when we think of cows, when one thinks of cows, then actually the mind becomes peaceful. Cows are so much goodness. So the Lord is recommending in this frame of reference here. Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, the cows and Brahmins, devotional service, the wives of Soma and Kasyapa, who are all daughters of King Daksha, the rivers Ganges, Saraswati, Nanda, and Jamuna, Kalindi, the elephant, Aravata, Dhruva Maharaj, the seven rishis, and the pious human beings. My dear devotee, unto those who rise from bed at the end of night and offer me the prayers offered by you, I give an eternal residence in the spiritual world at the end of their lives. Sukadeva Goswami says. He continues, after giving this instruction, the Lord, who is known as Rishikesh, bugled with his Panchajanya Kanchal. In this way, pleasing all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, he then mounted the back of his carrier Garuda. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports, the 8th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. Happy ending. How nice. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Questions or comments? You have a comment.
It's very common. All they have to do is that Mahaprabhu recite how they
So now you will start doing?
That's the question.
It's called
mutation takes place.
Huh?
The mutation takes place, guys and girls.
Yes.
That's how it happens.
So gradually, what Bunky is saying is gradually the guys give birth to cows. Gradually, but not all at once, not in one day. First the children start having horns. It's already happening. A lot of the children you see right now seem to have horns and tails too. Yeah, it can happen once, but don't wait. Don't wait for it to happen. Don't wait, don't miss your meals. Waiting. Yes.
This morning we're having a class also about cows and the natural foods like butter and milk.
Yes.
And because it was about the journey of the ocean.
Yes.
So we were just talking about the benefits of milk compared to other milk from other animals. I was just wondering whether, because the question was brought up about goat's milk compared to cow's milk.
Yes.
Goat's milk is it consumed in India, and is it considered a mode of goodness?
It's when you okay, we can make an experiment. Think of a cow and watch what happens to your consciousness. Then think of a goat and see if your mind gets peaceful or you start feeling very foolish.
I'm still laughing.
Huh? You start going nah.
Because, yeah, the effect of buffalo milk compared to cow's milk, you can say that. Was it Bunky you said that Prabhupada said you become buffalo head?
Consciousness is affected.
Yeah. Of course, consciousness is affected by what one eats.
Yeah.
For sure. Cows are so such gentle animals.
Gajendra is being glorified for attending Sarupi Mukti. In another place of the Bhagavatam, it says that a devotee will not accept any liberation even with Sarupi Mukti.
Yes.
So, why is it so glorious that he accepts?
Because he's attained the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. But if one wants to go to Goloka and have that quality of a result and have that quality of devotional service, one's consciousness is somewhat different than this. One has to be exclusively only interested in Krishna's pleasure and place one completely at the mercy of Krishna and think of Krishna as his own. A different mood is required to end up, especially in Vrindavan. Completely different mood is required. But Uddhava had, and he was able to visit Vrindavan sometime. But when he saw the actual consciousness of the gopis especially, or of all the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda, Yasoda, especially for gopis, then that consciousness he wished to give up. That even though it's pure, it's flawless, it's spiritual, but yet compared to the residents of Vrindavan, it is considered not of the same quality. So in one context, that should be glorified compared to material consciousness, compared to so many other consciousness. It's glorified and wonderful, but compared to Goloka Vrindavan consciousness, then it is a hindrance to accept any kind of a liberation.
So the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to take us
gradually.
So then what is the actual function of this story at this stage in the Bhagavatam? In the context of
how kind Krishna is, if we pray in that way, how to accept everything as Krishna's mercy. But and if you want to get off at this point, get off the train at this stop and take Sarupya Mukti, then you can do that. But keep reading is the recommendation. Go to the 10th canto. And then you'll see so many things. This happens so many places. Not only just here. Yeah.
I have said, compared to other situations where even Narayan comes from Bhakti from Garuda, in other cases he gives a lot more reciprocation to prayers that have been offered, like the Krishna Maharaj and the Tribune Maharaj, a lot more. But in this case, it's only this one verse at the end here, in terms of direct speaking something to
He took them with him, though.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But,
the mood is definitely
different. Yeah.
To some of the other changes that
he described. He didn't take the others with him.
Huh?
He didn't take the others with him. And the other thing I was thinking, you can say that, as you say, in one context, you criticize something, you compare to something else. But if Krishna came and took you with him, or came and took you with him, criticizing the guy.
What did you say? You want to say, I don't want to go.
Sorry, excuse me.
No, in that sense, not quite like that. But when Prahlad Maharaj was asked by the Lord, "What do you want?" He said, "I am not a bunya. I'm not a businessman. I'm here to give you, to serve you. I don't want."
He picked him up and picked him up when he didn't. What do you want to put him on his lap? He didn't say, "No." He sat on his lap. He took him. It's so special.
One day Krishna may come to you and say, "Sit on my lap." And then once you're on there, he's going to say, "Now you have to have forearms." Forearms. And your service is to be regulated devotional service in Vaikuntha. And you have to do the same thing every day. No, he won't. Unless he wants to make you laugh. Unless he wants to have a good laugh. No.
Must be that was introduced.
See, what we understand from Brihad Bhagavatamrita is for every person, they'll keep on rising up to positions from even in the spiritual world until they reach that position that satisfies them. So there's no fear of getting a position that isn't actually suitable for us, because if we don't like it, if it's unsuitable, then we don't stay, because Krishna, he reciprocates with the desires of every living entity.
That's happened to Gopurana.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's no us.
Yeah.
So you're saying go.
So
And then you can catch a connecting flight later. Now I understand.
It's a ride. Maybe he's sitting behind him on the girl.
Okay, so you tell us gradually how it goes. We get a postcard from Bunky. Weather in Vaikuntha is very good.
But I'm missing Vrindavan.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai Kajendra, Ki Jai.